Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, just 2 days away from the final preseason game of the year. Then the games count. Every play counts. Every moment counts. That's when it's going to get very, very exciting around here in the CBD studios.
I'm looking forward to us like talking about a third and two through a whole segment.
Yeah,
maybe a whole show.
It's going to be great.
Because that's when it's going to matter.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now, yeah, it's pretend fun time. But it's just practicing for the
I don't even know if the fourth preseason game is fun time. It's more just pretend
let's
survive time. That's what I think the fourth preseason game is. Paul Kruger, we talked about it last week going into this Indianapolis game with no Jabal Sheard, with no Barkevious Mingo, that he would be, you know, alongside Quinn Groves, who I thought played well, but that he would be kind of in the spotlight. He was brought in to be a dominant performer, and we'll see how he could do without his running buddies on the other side. And I thought, you know, he had a sack on the first series, forced Luck out of the pocket on a reroute to the inside where Billy Winn picked up the stuff on a 2 yard gain. Some great pressures. He ended up with one sack and three hurries on 27 pass rush snaps in that game. So I thought Kruger really showed why the Browns made the investment in him in this game against the Indianapolis Colts. And Jameer Howerton had the opportunity to sit down with Paul Kruger and get inside his head a little bit now that he is with the Cleveland Browns getting ready for the 2013 season. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. The news coming out of today's press conference, Coach mentioned that the starters may get anywhere from 10 to 12 reps during this last preseason game against the Bears. Just your thoughts from a defensive perspective of possibly getting back out there and finishing up strong.
Yeah. You know, I think Coach Chubb's done a great job of getting us ready for this regular season, and so whatever he decides to do and move forward with is what I feel comfortable doing, because he's put us in good situations, and but I'm excited. It's a good opportunity for the young guys. It's a good opportunity for us to sharpen a few skills and you know, continue to develop the game plans. So I'm excited for this game. I think, you know, you never want to underestimate a team. You never want to underestimate the value of getting out there and playing in the game. So we'll move forward with it.
Just your thoughts on how the defense has performed over the past three games during this preseason, just with everybody learning a new system, and how do you feel like guys have been coming along?
Yeah, I think we've developed really well. It's been a long off season. You know, it's a long preseason. Training camp's always a grind. And it seems like people have handled it really well. We had a lot of positive vibes right now. You know, our defense has had challenges here and there, and you know, we've had drives that we wish we could have got out of, and situations that we wouldn't want to be put in. But we've had a lot of positive things too. You know, we've played great in certain situations. We've been put in situations and got out of it okay. And so I feel like we're coming along really nice. You know, there's always the corrections to be made. But I feel like we're on a really good track.
Paul, when you look at this last and final game and you being one of the leaders within the locker room and on the defense, what is your advice to some of these young guys that are pretty much on the bubble?
Yeah, just to play hard. I mean, that's all you can ask. There's going to be mistakes made. There's going to be, you know, big plays made. You just got to give it everything you got, because that's really what everybody wants to see. You know, your teammates, your coaches, you know, they want to see you out there and put it all on the line and do what you came here to do. And so a lot of guys, you know, you just want to encourage them. Whatever happens in a game, just do it full speed.
And who were some of the young guys that you'll be paying attention to on defense and cheering them on as they head into this final game?
God, there's so many. I mean, there's a lot of guys on offense I'm excited to see just go at it and perform. And from the running backs and offensive linemen we've been working with, Wallace and Batamosi I know he's not a rookie, but he's a guy that I've just kind of been anxious to watch and follow, and he's a good guy, and he has a lot of heart, and so I want to see him do well. Tank Carter, I think he's somebody I'm excited to see develop. He's got a lot of potential, and I think he could be a great player.
And just for yourself around this time of the year, what are some of the things that you do as you prepare for that season opener?
Just get your body right and keep studying, keep you know, developing game plans in your head and you know, studying your opponent. You know, you can't do enough of it, you know, so having a little extra time to do that against Miami is going to be big for us. But for me, it's mainly going to be, you know, getting your body right. The better you feel, the better you play. So just icing, rehabbing, you know, getting out there and running, doing whatever you got to do to come out week one flying around.
Paul, thanks for your time.
All right, man, thanks.
Back to you, Vic.
All right. Thank you, Jameer, very much for that and the conversation with Paul Krueger. Good stuff. I like the fact that Paul is taking a very kind of – it's not a matter-of-fact approach. It's a very professional-sounding approach in terms of, hey, there's more to learn, more to study about this defense, more things that we can expand and do. And he comes here with a Super Bowl ring. He comes here with an impressive resume. He comes here with the fattest contract of any free agent, but he doesn't sound like he's got it all figured out.
And he is a guy who's going to come in and help with the transformation into this winning culture, because that personifies, typifies everything that's great about Paul Krueger. You hit the nail on the head. He comes in with a Super Bowl ring. He's done it. But at the same time, we heard from many people who were in here that he felt disrespected in the Super Bowl because he didn't play as many snaps as he thought he was due, even though he had two sacks and was a critical piece of the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl victory. He wants to prove that he should be an every down player and a dominant force in the NFL. And that's why when you get a guy who's had the success that he has had, who's gotten paid the way that he has been paid, and yet he still is hungry to learn, to work, and to practice, and to get better on the things that he knows he's always going to be a work in progress, that's the kind of attitude that I think becomes infectious and contagious and will help this very young team reach its potential.
And this is where he can get it. This is the kind of team, the kind of situation that is ripe for a Paul Krueger to take advantage of it. I think it should be, and again, we'll see how it plays out, it should mean more to him than the payday. It should mean more to him than the idea that, okay, I'm a starter, I'm a regular here. It's a prove-it thing. The strategy behind getting him, and you've heard any number of analysts or whatever, and we've had him on this show and others who do their offseason rankings of overpaid players. He always shows up on that list because I think a lot of it is based on the idea what he was a role player for the Ravens, getting better than starter money to do a job here. But it's changed. His role is different. He is a starter. He is the predominant piece in this puzzle, and it's up to him now, I know, to show that. I think it's a good thing that he's getting that kind of criticism, and I think it's a good thing to remind him that it isn't all about the Benjamins.
Exactly right, and we talked about the Super Bowl game. There were 62 defensive snaps that the Baltimore Ravens played. He played 22 of them. He rushed 14 times. He had two sacks. They had three sacks as a team in that game. So this is a guy who now has the opportunity to say to himself, listen, I'm getting disrespected in the national media in the sense that I'm on every overpaid list. I was disrespected by the Baltimore Ravens despite my contributions to them. He gets to play in the division with the Ravens. He gets to help coach up other people and help better himself as a player and have the opportunity to be regarded as one of the better players in the NFL. And that's why I was so interested to see how he would do against Indianapolis, because Jabal Sheard wasn't there. The focus in terms of protecting the quarterback was going to be on stopping Paul Krueger in that game, and he still prevailed anyway with a sack, three quarterback hurries on just 27 snaps. So I was very impressed with what Paul Krueger was able to do, and I'm very impressed by his overall attitude. And I think that the Browns, when they brought him in there, they paid for more than just what they had hoped to get on the field. Obviously, they hope that they can take, you know, you can translate his limited snaps and the production that came out of that to a full snap arsenal and then multiply the production on top of it. But at the same time, I think there are intangibles in terms of learning, in terms of coaching, in terms of culture, in terms of work ethic that can be imparted upon this young team and be very valuable to a guy like Jabal Sheard in his first year in a 3-4 as an outside linebacker, to the number 6 overall pick, Barkevius Mingo, two guys that are going to be critical to building the sustained success that this team wants.
And in talking with people internally, talking with our coaching staff here, talking with some of the personnel people, in breaking down what Paul Krueger is all about and what he means to this team, what I'm not hearing is expecting dynamic superstar dominance, that this is not going to be the second coming of Lawrence Taylor as an outside linebacker for the Browns.
Right.
I'm not hearing that. But I'm not hearing it as a negative. I'm hearing it as this is the reality of what he is. He is a really good, steady force for us, which is something we need here. This is, you know, I'm quoting from the coaches that I've heard and from the personnel people standing on the sideline at training camp and just assessing. But he ranks in the upper tier of what the Browns have. But as far as, you know, eye-popping, playmaking type of thing, don't necessarily expect that, but expect consistency, effectiveness. Expect what we saw last Saturday night, which was under the circumstances that you had, again, missing some key pieces like Jabal Sheard, like Desmond Bryant, and yet Paul Krueger goes out there and under more, and no Barkevius Mingo either, under very difficult circumstances and makes something happen against a very smart offense, a very smart second-year quarterback in Andrew Luck. And
that's Pep, not just because he went to Stanford.
No, and Pep Hamilton running that scheme. They have a lot of different protection set up. I mean, there's a whole lot going on there that's intelligent and accountable for people like Paul Kruger, and yet he still made plays.
And there is the potential, though, that you do get superstar numbers from Paul Kruger. At Pro Football Focus, they break down outside linebackers in terms of pass rush productivity. So that would be your sacks, your hurries, and, of course, your three-quarters worth on a hurry. You get a hit and a sack. You get those two divided by how many times you rush the passer. Number one in the NFL last year in terms of pass rushing productivity at 12.2%. Paul Kruger, ahead of Aldon Smith, ahead of DeMarcus Ware, ahead of Clay Matthews. Obviously, he only had 448 passing snaps compared to, 588 for Aldon Smith. But the fact of the matter is he has an opportunity to, with more snaps, build on that. If he can maintain the efficiency he showed, he could be one of the people who ends up putting up superstar numbers.
That was the analytics that guided Joe Banner and the Browns to make that acquisition.
That's right. Analytics. Analytics. Not a bad thing. I obviously like numbers, and hopefully you like listen to them as well. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right now on ESPN 850 WKNR. Your tweets at Browns Daily coming up next. I dive into frozen waves with